He doesn't delay. He doesn't procrastinate. He doesn't question God. He does what he's told. That's what God desires from each one of us individually. He doesn't want you to delay in any way, but he wants you by faith to step out and do exactly what he says in his word. And then he'll reward you.
Welcome to the weekend edition of Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. As a young man, Raul ran from God and filled his life with worldly pursuits. But when he hit rock bottom, God led him to repentance and gave him a new life in Christ. For Raul's full testimony, visit SomebodyLovesYouRadio.com or to get your own free DVD of his story, call 800-634-9165. Well, thank you for joining us this weekend for a special year-end message from Raul. You know, January 1st is always a good time to recalibrate goals and priorities. And today, as we explore an inspiring story of faith, we'll be challenged to look to the future with a fresh resolve to give all for Christ. Stay with us to see that following the Lord means a daily surrender of self-rule to the divine guidance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's lesson is titled, Joseph Departs from Egypt. Here's Raul Reese now in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13.
Now you have to understand, when you read the book of Matthew, if you're a new Christian, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every one of the Gospels are written by different guys. Matthew wrote to the Jewish nation of Israel. He wrote and he gave the theme to the book of Matthew, Jesus, King of the Jews. Mark writes to the Romans, Roman Gentiles. So when he writes to them, he puts Jesus in a picture as Jesus, the servant of man. Luke is a Greek, and when he writes as a Greek, and he writes to the Greeks, and he says Jesus is the son of man. Then John writes, and he writes to the whole world. And he writes, and he says Jesus is the Savior of the world. I love the way each gospel is so unique in its writing. Matthew is going to give us some insights to the gospel of Matthew, because here now Matthew is writing in chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. If you can go there, please. You'll be able to see, first of all, as Matthew is writing, that there are four things we need to look at. There are four dreams. The first dream that we see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, was a dream given to him, or a vision concerning instructions about Mary and Joseph. The second dream that we see here contains instruction on how they should flee to Egypt because Herod wants to kill the child. And the third thing, he goes back to Egypt and he tells Joseph and Mary to return back to the land. And that's in chapter 2:20. And then the fourth one, they actually go from Jerusalem and they move back into the Galilee. And they go back where Joseph came from, there in Nazareth. Now, as I was reading and thinking of all the events that are given to us here, imagine if an angel appeared unto you. Because we're going to see here probably Gabriel, and you have to understand there were three major angels. It was Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, Satan. I think that as Matthew writes to us this morning, we need to learn from the scriptures that God wants a personal love relationship with each one of us, not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's actually a relationship that we can have with God once you and I submit our lives to Him. And we repent of our sins and we become born again of the Holy Spirit. And now we begin to obey, not to disobey what He says in His Word. That's why the Word of God is so important, to read it, to study it. And then at the same time, prayer is so important too. Because the majority of the church today, if you were to do an examination or to do a survey, you would find that even in this very room and even those listening in the airways and watching through the internet, that there are hundreds, thousands, and probably millions of Christians that have never read through the whole Bible. Never read through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And yet when you talk to Christians, I mean, if the Mormons read the Book of Mormons all the way through and the Jehovah Witnesses read their Bible all the way through, what about the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when they don't have the truth and we do have the truth? Too much is given, much more is required. And when you read the Bible, there's so many translations today, it's not hard to read the Bible. But when you read it, how is God going to speak to my heart? And how he's going to convict my life so that I can have a transformation, a change? And then at the same time as I read the Bible, he's going to teach me how I'm going to defend myself and put on the whole armor of God. So important. And then the Word of God also, if you're not reading and praying in the morning when you get up and ready to go to school or go to work or whatever you're doing, during the day, how are you going to defend yourself against the wiles of Satan? You have no power. You have no defense. And that's why so many Christians are defeated today. You have no power. If you would take God's word, read it, examine it, learn it, then you would have a sword that is sharp to fight against the wiles of Satan. And we see here in the book of Matthew that as God called, you know, baby Jesus came, and then Mary and Joseph, they had a great responsibility not only to know God's word, but they had a great responsibility to take care of Jesus. Why? Because Satan, from the beginning of time in the book of Genesis all the way through, Satan has always tried to wipe out the seed of the child. Always. But he's been defeated by Jesus himself. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, we see Jesus, the only one worthy in heaven to stand up and walk across the room and take the title deed to the earth back to himself. Nobody else could do that but Jesus. Look now at chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, the first point. The angel's warning here again. There's four warnings. He says in verse 13, it says, now when they, that's the wise men, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. The first observation that I made here, very important, is they, the wise men. Remember when they came to Herod, Herod played the part that he wanted to come. When you find the child, come back and tell me so that I can come and worship him too. Think of how many people are like Herod that really don't want the truth, but they hate the truth. Because once Herod found out, because God warned the wise men not to go back to Herod, but to head on to Babylon, when he finally found out that they avoided him, then he became so angry that what he did is he went out and killed all those children from 1 year old to 2 years old, thinking he could kill the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So the wise men played a big role in the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As they came with the three gifts, and the star was leading them, a supernatural star led them right to Jerusalem. And so here in chapter 2, verse 13, now we see God's messenger, now the angel. And what does he do? He has a message. For who? For Joseph. Look what he says. And behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, get up and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Now, there's a couple things I want to talk to you about here that I see very important. Number one is the angel of the Lord. In the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord was a theophany of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the angel of Jehovah. Here twice in the book of Matthew chapter 2, you will see the angel of the Lord. And what he has come to do here, he's come here to give instruction and instruction to Joseph and Mary. If you notice here, he says, in a dream he came and said to him, get up and take the young child. He doesn't put Mary before the young child. You'll see that all the way through here in Matthew. And the reason is because so many people, you know, have the worship of Mary. Mary worship. And yet in the scripture, Mary is never number one. She's always first is Jesus and then Mary, the mother of Jesus. Very important point to remember. So for us, it's really important also to know that God is speaking to Joseph to become the husband of Mary. And notice what he says here. And then to take the child, says, get up and take the child. That word arise there is very important. The command is given. And in that command, in the Greek, it says, run away, get away in a hurry. Why? Because Herod wants to kill the child. All the way to the Bible, from Genesis to Malachi to Matthew, all the way to Revelation, you can begin to see concerning Satan. But in the Gospel of Matthew and all the way from the Old Testament, you see how the Father is always protecting his Son all the way through. I like that. That Satan had no power over Jesus Christ because Jesus was God. And he's the one that stepped in the serpent's head and noticed and defeated him. So here the command, get up and go. Notice again. And notice, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Notice, not Mary or Joseph, the child has to be killed. All the way through, Satan wants to kill the child. Then he says this in verse 14, and when Joseph got up, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. First thing I see here is not only Joseph leading the way as a spiritual leader, but being obedient to God's word when he heard it. He got up immediately. He didn't procrastinate. He didn't delay. He did exactly what God said him to do. Notice that. It says here, Joseph got up, he took the young child and his mother, they went by night and departed to Egypt. Egypt in scripture is always a type of what? Of the world. The Lord sends him back to Egypt because at this particular time, there's probably about 1 million Jews living in Egypt. So they're going back to Egypt. Verse 15, he says, and was there Joseph until the death of Herod. Notice, God sets him in Egypt until Herod dies. The one that wants to destroy Jesus, the child. So we don't really know how long it was, but they were there in Egypt. And they were in Egypt also because of prophecy. Look what he says, verse 15. He was there that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. What prophet? So we go back to Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. Hosea the writer, 750 years before this is written in the book of Matthew, the prophet prophesies, he says, out of Egypt I have called my son. Dual prophecy. One, about Israel coming out of Egypt, and two, Jesus being in Egypt and being called back to the promised land. To me, it's amazing how God's word is so profound. So amazing the way God shows us the word of God. Giving us insight, prophetically speaking here. Historically, exactly what happened. There was a fulfillment here. Second prophecy of Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, being fulfilled by Joseph, Mary, and the child Jesus.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. We'll continue with more in just a moment.
Hi everyone, this is Pastor Raul. I want to take this time to invite you guys to Israel. You know, we go every 2 years to Israel, and it's been so awesome to see people that have gone in the past, to watch their transformation coming back home.
So when you open the Bible and you read it, in your mind, you go back to those places that not only you walked, but places where God touched your life. Especially when we went to the tomb. And I can remember people going into the tomb, coming out of the tomb in a complete different way. So we invite you to come with us to Israel, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. Again, we love you. Come to Israel.
Get together with Raul, Sharon, and Ryan Reese for a trip to the land of Israel, April 23rd through May 3rd, 2018. For more information, go to somebodylovesyou.com. That's somebodylovesyou.com. And click on the tab Israel 2018. Or call Inspire Travel at 714-957-8606. That's 714-957-8606.
And now back to Roll with more of the message, Joseph Departs from Egypt.
Notice second point, verses 16 to 18, how the scripture is always fulfilled this way. Verse 16, and then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, he's not dead yet, he's going to die. So here's again, when Herod, when he saw that he was deceived because the Lord told the wise men not to go back to him. So they obeyed and they left. He says he was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. He killed all these little children. Not only in Bethlehem, but outside of Bethlehem, he began to kill all these little children. He became so angered that the wise men never came and told him where the Messiah was born. But yet all the whole time he wanted to destroy the Messiah. He wanted to kill. He demonstrates here that he kills these children hoping that he's killing the Messiah among those children. But what he didn't know is that God already has sent them to Egypt. God's protection divinely was already presently before them. And I believe the same way that God protects you, God protects me. When we're in communion with God and we're fellowshipping with God and we're going through problems and situations and we're down in the dumps, maybe you're depressed or oppressed. Man, you know what? There's nothing impossible with God. When we come to God, God will lift you up. God will bless you. God will protect you. He'll comfort you. That's one of the reasons that when he left, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And when he's coming, he's going to lead you, guide you, teach you, convict you. He's going to be with you all the time. And I love that about the Holy Spirit, that he never departs. He's always with me. He's always with you. So we need to be careful how we worship God. Herod did not know how to worship God. He worshiped Satan in the world. But here he kills the children. Notice verse 17. Again, another prophecy. Notice how Matthew gives us more prophecies than the other three gospels. He says, then it was fulfilled, which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. He says, a voice was heard in Ramah. This is from Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 2. He says, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Notice how he's calling out Rachel. Who's Rachel? Jacob's wife. And Rachel died. Remember, she was buried in, again, going back there to Bethlehem. So he's given us the history, even in the prophecy here. Rachel weeping for her children. Notice that. Refusing to be comforted because they are no more. So imagine here lamenting the prophet Jeremiah as he would see the people of God being tortured, being killed, being carried into Babylon, and the temple, the place of worship, would be torn down, burned down, and the walls of the city would be totally in a mess, torn down. And the people of God would be in Babylon in bondage, worshiping the king of Babylon. And then look what he says, third point, verse 19 to 20. The angel's warning again. And when Herod was dead, now he dies, Behold, again, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. The same angel that sent him to Egypt, the same angel comes and says, now you can go back. It's time to go back. Your enemy's dead. He says, and the angel of the Lord appeared on a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, get up, the command, take your young child and his mother. Notice again, who's the first person? The child, not Mary. Always a child, Jesus. He's the priority. Arise and take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Notice how perfect God's timing is for protection. God took him, set him in Egypt, taking care of all his enemies, and now he's bringing him back when his enemies are dead to protect him. But at the same time, he still has sons that God will take care of. It's really important for us that if God the Father took care of Jesus, Mary and Joseph, and the Paul the Apostle, and James and John, and all these guys, how much more will he take care of each one of us individually here today? Why? Because he loves you so much. He loves you so much that he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Watch again the obedience of Joseph. Verse 21. And then Joseph got up. He took the young child, here it is again, the young child and his mother Mary, and came into the land of Israel. He's doing exactly what God told him to do. He doesn't delay. He doesn't procrastinate. He doesn't question God. He does what he's told. That's what God desires from each one of us individually. He doesn't want excuses. He doesn't want procrastination. He doesn't want you to delay in any way, but he wants you by faith to step out and do exactly what he says in his word. And then he'll reward you. Because he loves you. Loves you so much. Just like he loved Joseph, he loved Mary, he loved the child. Notice the fourth point. God's protection and fulfillment again, verse 22 to 23, the conclusion here. He says, but when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judah instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. He goes on to say, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of the Galilee. So he's been to Egypt, he's back to Jerusalem, and now he's back in the Galilee, just as God said. And check this out, verse 23 again. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. If you've ever been on a trip with us to Nazareth, it is not a place you want to stay in. It's just a place to go there, look, and then head on to the Galilee and go to Jerusalem. Nazareth was a place not only where Mary and Joseph and Jesus lived. It was a place known for drunkards. It was a place for the low class. And yet Jesus lived most of his life in Nazareth to demonstrate that he didn't come for the best people. He came for what? For the sinners, just like you and me. Not the self-righteous. He came to save sinners. And as he not only was brought up in Nazareth, now another prophecy, the last prophecy, not fourth prophecy, look what he says. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. Here again, everything that God said in the Old Testament was predicted. It was fulfilled in the New Testament. So this is the word of the Lord. You can trust in the word of God. He says this, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, check this out. In the Hebrew language, it means the branch or netzer in Hebrew. The branch. Because if you go back into the Old Testament, you'll look for the prophecy, and all of a sudden you'll see the prophecy being fulfilled by the word branch in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, Isaiah 53, 2, and then Psalm 22, 6. Speaking of Jesus himself, the branch that would come, the Savior of the world, the one and only one that could ever save anybody from their sins. And that's why we sit here today. Not to become church members, but to become kingdom members. being born again of the Holy Spirit of God so that the Word of God can become real in my life. And no matter what happens in the world, God's in control. And not like Moses looking this way, looking that way, looking behind you. And the Lord rebuked him and said, Moses, always, always keep your eyes straight ahead. You got to keep your eyes on the Lord. Never defeated, but always having the victory in Jesus Christ. For he's the only one and only one that can ever protect you and watch over you and save you.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson, we'll be glad to send you an unedited copy for a donation of any amount. To get that, just call 800-634-9165 and ask for the lesson titled Joseph Departs from Egypt. Now, as you set your priorities up for the coming year, we'd like to offer you a resource that will ground your heart and mind in what's most important, the saving love of God. We've put together four lessons into an audio collection titled The Birth of Christ, and each message firmly establishes the Lord's desire to walk in daily relationship with you. As you explore the amazing events surrounding Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, you'll see how God has sovereignly paved the way for each of us to experience salvation and restoration through the gift of His Son. Get in touch with us today to purchase this life-giving 4-CD study pack. To place your order, visit SomebodyLovesYourRadio.com or call toll-free 800-634-9165. And we'll send you the Birth of Jesus Christ audio compilation for just $18.95 plus shipping and handling. The phone number again is 800-634-9165. If you'd like to order this resource by writing us, the mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Now, if you'd like even more life-giving truth from the Word of God, all of Raul's messages are available as podcasts. You can easily access this program as well as all of our weekday broadcasts via iTunes. And today is the final day to make a year-end contribution to Somebody Loves You Radio. Don't forget, it's through the faithful support of listeners like you that we're able to continue this outreach on radio. To participate in taking the good news of Jesus to people who need to hear, call 800-634-9165. Well, thanks again for making us a part of your weekend. And be sure and join us again next time as we return to our marriage series with insights from Scripture that will help you and your spouse strengthen and enrich your relationship. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.